Our reading today, we're going to read from the Bible. We're going to read from Matthew and chapter 6. So that's the first book of the New Testament. And we're on page 970 if you've got one of these turquoise books. 970, we're in Matthew chapter 6. And we're reading verses 5 to 15. Let's read God's word. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Amen. In a few moments, we're going to come back and look at these words together. Keep open, if you can, the passage that we read together in Matthew chapter 6, page 970. Now, as I was telling the young ones, we all want to hear from the people that we care about. And on the phone to my father, I know exactly what topics of conversation we're going to have before we even have it. I know he's going to tell me about any local deaths. I know he's going to ask about the weather. I know he's going to tell me about his weather. I still want to hear him talk about it. I know the conversations we're going to have. I still want to have them. We still want to have these conversations with the people that we care about. And if that is true of human beings, how much more true is it of God? We have the matchless privilege of sharing our innermost thoughts with God. Earlier on, I announced that we were going to join our hearts together and pray. What is prayer? What is happening when we pray? Why are we praying? Who are we praying to? Now, these are some of the questions that hopefully we're going to deal with as we start a new series focusing on the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. So the mornings that I do with you over the coming months, this is what we're going to be hopefully focusing on, God willing. And today, we focus on how Jesus introduces how we are meant to pray. And then these game-changing opening words, "Our Father." So, first of all, what is prayer? One, prayer is speaking to our Father. Prayer is not simply a little monologue by yourself. It's not a little exercise in self-therapy. It's not some religious performance. Prayer is a genuine, personal conversation with the personal God himself. It's nothing more than talking to God. And yet it can happen in so many ways. A whole variety of ways to talk to God while we meditate on his word, on the Bible, his word to us. And he speaks to us by his Spirit through the Word. I watched the Queen's speech for the first time ever last Wednesday. It's just something I'd never done before. It wasn't something we did as a family. But I watched it for the first time ever. And the Queen is our sovereign ruler. She's very powerful. But I don't speak to the Queen. She doesn't speak to me as such. I don't know her, and she doesn't know me. Why do we speak to God? If we talk about and understand that God is our creator and God is our sovereign ruler, why do we speak to God? Well, ultimately, it's because our God is himself a speaking God. From the very first chapter of the Bible, God is speaking. And God said, "Let there be light." Creation hinges on a speaking God. Psalm 19, the heavens declare, proclaim, speak out the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Our Bibles exist because our God is a speaking God. And prayer exists. Our ability to communicate with him exists because our God is a speaking God. And prayer exists because our God is a relational God. The opening words of our psalm here, of our prayer. Our Father in heaven. Our Father. What does that mean? Well, back in the very first chapter of the Bible, again, in creation, we have God speaking to himself using the plural terms us and our. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image." And which means that while we understand God as being God, he's the one and only God, he is inseparable, indivisible. And yet, we know from the fullness of what is revealed to us in the Bible that there are three distinct persons in God. There is this communion. There is this relationship. There is this flow of love and unity, even within the oneness of God. There is God the Father. There is God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. That's what's been revealed to us in the Bible. Now, and let's not forget, because again and again, some of us are, the cogs start turning and just can't figure out how one and three, what? Let's not forget that we are limited, finite beings that cannot and will not comprehend fully the infinite God. But what it does mean is that inherent in God is a relational speaking reality. And he's made mankind in his image with the capacity to relate and communicate like no other creature can. There's a lesser form of communication, a lesser form of relationship. But even if we can't speak out loud, we can communicate. We can write. We can touch. We can sign. We can look. And even when we lose all of those functions, we know that it's a loss because it's not meant to be that way. We know we were made for communication, for relationship. We're made for relationship. Why? Because our God is a speaking relational God, and we get to speak to him. That's prayer. We get to speak to our Creator. And so here in Matthew 6, you have God the Son, Jesus Christ, born into this world to carry our sin and to die for our guilt And he's the one sharing with us. He's the one telling us how to speak to God, our Father. He's inviting us to speak to his Father with the same words he uses, with the words that only he can use, our Father. Now, these are shocking words. No one spoke to God like this. No one had such access to God like this. No, sure, okay, we're God's creations. Yep, everything comes from God. Okay, you could say he's the Father of everything. And that's been said many times. But personally, my Father, your Father, our Father, God is not personally my Father naturally. But through Jesus the Son, we can be placed into this intimate relationship with God the Father. A relationship won for us by the perfect obedience of the Son, who died to remove our sin and guilt that was and is blocking this possibility of that relationship. Which means that through Jesus, we become sons of God. Now, that's not a male or female thing. Rather, that Jesus gives us his own status of sonship. He cloaks and clothes us in his relationship with God. He clothes us in sonship, which means in and through Jesus Christ, we become sons of God. We have been adopted into his family. We share the extraordinary, privileged, legal status of Jesus himself before God the Father. He becomes our Father. These were shocking words. These are game-changing words. We're so used to this prayer. Reflect and remember what you're saying. When you get to say, our Father, he's inviting you to be adopted into his family. He's inviting you to pray with him, to step into prayer with him, to pray, to speak to our Father. And there in the act and in the dynamic of praying, you and me, we get to bring our whole lives to our Father. And he says, come, speak to me. And we come in order to know him and in order to be known by him. Sometimes people struggle to speak to God as Father. It might be that your earthly father was cruel, distant. He may have committed abuse. He may have betrayed or hurt you deeply. Well, focus on the word our. This isn't your father we're talking about. Our Father in heaven is not the one who hurt you. This is our Father who brings justice and shame to all fathers who have done such wrongs. May our Father get all the positive attributes that we so desire and that we so miss in our earthly fathers. Focus on those words, our Father. He's not like your father. He's ours. Which takes me to my second point this morning. If the first thing is that prayer is simply speaking to our Father, Secondly, our Father loves to hear us pray. The secret of great praying has nothing to do with human effort or skill. People quite often want to make prayer some sort of achievement, or that we can weave together beautifully sounding prayers. But the secret is that you need to know three things. God the Father loves to hear us pray. God the Son makes every prayer pleasing to God. God the Holy Spirit helps us as we pray. We're just focusing on the first point this morning, because your prayers and mine will not be heard by God because of our sincerity, but because of our status. Not because of our performance, but because of our position. Which means he can't not hear your prayers if you're in Jesus. If we don't feel like he's listening today, it's because we're misunderstanding or disbelieving the plain and amazing reality of our adoption. It changes everything. Our Father has adopted us into his family because of the work and the sonship of Jesus, which means our relationship with him fundamentally changes, and his affection, the way he listens. These words, our Father, mean that you and I are the center of our Heavenly Father's affection. This is where we find rest for our souls. Spend time with your Father. See his love for you in the words of Jesus here. Our Father in heaven. Jesus is inviting us to pray with him these words, our Father. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And as you pray, you discover your heart meshing with God's heart as the Spirit helps us pray, unites us to Jesus. As the Son makes our prayer pleasing to God. And as the Father loves to hear us. He wants to hear you speak to him. He loves to hear you pray. His desire is that his children will talk to him. Think of it in those terms. You may feel you can't pray because you're unworthy. You know you've sinned today, this last week, over this last year. You know that you're just stagnating in your life. You know that there are things in your life that you're ashamed of, that other people don't know about, that you're living a double life maybe. Why would God listen to me? I can't pray to God because I'm so messed up. I'm too messed up for God to hear me. Well, that's like saying that Jesus hasn't done enough on the cross for God to really hear my prayers. Rubbish. Jesus paid it all. And so God is listening. God loves to hear you. Even if you've messed up, no matter how messed up. Maybe you think that you need to pray long, intense, serious, eloquent prayers. Maybe that's what a real prayer warrior is. I need to set aside hours. I need to fast. I need to, only then God will hear me. Rubbish. In fact, that's potentially one of the things that Jesus warns against in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. He says, verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love standing to be seen by others. It's not saying that when you pray long, serious, intense, eloquent prayers, that that's hypocritical. It's not necessarily, but it can be. There's many ways to be hypocritical when praying. Verse 7, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. It's all so much simpler than that. So much better. Come as you are. Speak as you are. Just speak to our Father in heaven because he loves to hear you. The reality of coming as we are is that we are messy. I know that. I see my own heart. We are messy. And when we slow down to try and pray, we are immediately, if ever a moment tells you how unspiritual you feel and how unspiritual you are, it's when you try and pray and you're immediately confronted with how difficult it is to concentrate on God, to concentrate on speaking to him. But when your child is learning how to walk and talk, you don't critique it. Oh, come on, you barely put four steps together there. Oh, come on, you're saying mama, but really I prefer to be called mother. You don't critique away. We're talking about the welcoming heart of our Father. God is delighted when we come towards him with our wobbly, unsteady prayers. We're not meant to try and create a little spiritual clone of ourselves when we somehow start praying. We create this little version of ourselves that's 100 times different to what we are like normally. We just enter into this mode, into this routine of thinking and of speaking. Pray, talk to God. Be you. And just speak to your Father. You have an audience with the King in heaven. And it does beg the question, how do we fuse together intimacy with royal protocol? This is the King, the Creator, the Sovereign Ruler. How do we fuse together intimacy with royal protocol? You can't. You can't. God is both to us equally, without compromise. Don't be afraid of intimacy. Don't be afraid of your status and position as his child. Coming like a child to our Father. Cling to God like a child to their father. Cling to him, sure, with the royal protocol, with reverent fear and humble love. He's still our God. He's still our creator. He's not just our little buddy. He is the sovereign ruler. Don't mess God around. But talk to him. Pray to him. We have that access. We have that intimacy. Just off the back of that, if for one reason or another you struggle to speak to God or to trust God or to approach him like a helpless child to their father, I'd very much recommend a book by Paul E. Miller called A Praying Life. I actually meant to bring it so I could show it. But right, take a note of it, write it on your phone, get this book. It really gets stuck into the simple and the hard realities of prayer. It's so readable, so full of love and sympathy and empathy. Please do get it. Please do read it. But the last thing I want to draw from these opening words is the interplay between verse 8 and 9. Prayer is speaking to our Father. Our Father loves to hear us pray. And our Father, thirdly, uses our prayers. Verse 8 and 9. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. If God knows everything already, before we ask, does prayer make any difference? Does it really change anything? It's one of the most frequently asked questions. I've asked it myself. But we have to be sure what we're asking. If we're asking, does prayer change God's mind? The answer is no. It doesn't. If we're asking, does prayer change things? Absolutely, yes. The very reason we pray is because of God's sovereignty. Because we believe that God has the power to actually do things, that He is our Father in heaven, who knows it all already. He knows what we need before we even ask Him, it says in verse 8. If God was limited by not knowing everything, past, present, and future, if He has not already known every moment that will ever happen across all of history, then automatically God has limits. If He doesn't know everything, God has limits. And if He's got limits, where else does He have limits? Are there things that He can't do? But our Father in heaven is sovereign, ruler, in control over everything. He's not one of us on earth. In a linear timeline, limited by the laws of the universe. He has total control, total knowledge of the past, present, future. Does prayer change His mind? No. He doesn't learn new information. He doesn't lack any knowledge. Nothing surprises God. And when their language in the Bible, it makes it seem as if God is surprised or God changes His mind, it's because we are incapable of understanding what God is like and how He processes things. And so He uses language that is actually reaching down to us, speaking on our level. What you might call, it's the language of God condescending to us to be understandable. It's using anthropomorphic language. Human language for something that's not human. But does prayer change things? Absolutely it does. We don't know the future. And we need to humbly appreciate that just because we don't understand the journey, that we don't understand what's happening and how God is weaving things together, it doesn't mean that God, in His hidden and infinite wisdom, doesn't already know exactly what's happening. I don't know what's happening in the world. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. And I don't know what will be the case for the next generations. But praying to the God who knows and is in charge of the future means that for us, future can change. For you, the future can change. Don't try and second guess how God sees everything. He sees everything. But for you and me, your future can change. Things can change. And that's why we pray. We pray because we don't know the future. We pray because He holds the future. We pray because prayer changes things. Someone once said that God uses our prayers as the keys to unlock His will. He loves hearing our prayers. He loves using our prayers. He loves changing the world with our prayers. He loves changing us through our prayers. Prayer is not some cold mathematical process, but a warm, relational understanding that changes the world. Prayer is thinking God's thoughts after Him, in step with Him, as we are being meshed together in love as children to their Father. And the more time we spend talking to our Father, we are changed profoundly to love what He loves, to desire what he desires. And so today we pray. We pray in a new year, if we're spared. Am I ready and willing to pray as a partner with Jesus? Am I a child of God? Able to say the words, "Our Father." Will I pray as a partner with my fellow adopted brothers and sisters? Will I pray as part of the team, together, praying to our Father for the work still to be done? Our Father wants us to speak to him. He loves it when we do. He wants us to think his thoughts after him, praying for anyone lost without him. He wants us to pray in the kingdom. He wants us to pray through his work. He wants us to pray for... Maybe you've been prayed for. Maybe you need praying for. Well, you're invited to know him as your Father, as our Father. We're invited to pray together. To know all the love and affection that he has for his children. He wants to know you. He already does. But he wants to have this warm, conversational relationship with you. And for you to know him too. Will you pray with Jesus to our Father in heaven? Amen.